Please be seated. And good morning, friends and family, graduates, faculty, staff. It is my pleasure to introduce our commencement speaker, Matthew Wilson Slater. Matthew Slater is special teams captain for the New England Patriots and is foremost a servant of Christ. He is a three-time Super Bowl champion and holds an NFL record for 10 special teams to Pro Bowl nods. He has been selected to the AP All-Pro team 5 times and was named to the Patriots 2010 All-Decade team. As a beloved NFL player who exemplifies character and leadership on and off the field, he consistently chooses to use his national platform to make a difference in the lives of others. Matthew regularly gives back through numerous nonprofit organizations, and Matthew and his wife, Dr. Shahrzad Slater, MD, started a foundation to promote health and education to the glory of God locally and globally. They've advocated for ending slavery worldwide through the International Justice Mission's Team Freedom, as well as advocating for and supporting persecuted Christians around the globe through numerous organizations. The Slaters are passionate about feeding and supporting families physically and spiritually through the power of community and the gospel of Jesus Christ. To this end, they've been honored to join the outstanding work of local and international organizations. In collaboration with some of his teammates, Matthew has fought for social justice through education and legal reform. He's also advocated for awareness around the importance of voting and voter education. He was born in California to his parents Jackie and Annie Slater. Matthew has one brother named David. He was raised in Calvary Church of Santa Ana in California, where he was actively involved in youth ministries. He attended UCLA, where he double majored in history and political science. He was drafted in the 5th round of the 2008 NFL draft to the New England Patriots, where he has played since. As a captain and representative of the Patriots, Matthew leads his teammates on and off the field and in devotionals, weekly Bible studies, and prayers. Matthew and his wife have 4 children, the youngest of which was just born a little over a month ago, and the oldest of which is with us today, watching his daddy give a commencement speech. Now, Matthew and Shahrzad Slater share a compelling story, one of many in the great and ancient story in which we're all taking a part. Super-educated football hero marries medical wonder and so forth. But I must mention, in this joyous academic occasion, that their most impressive degrees are the degree to which they love and pour into God's people. The degree to which they stand for biblical Christianity in a public industry that desperately needs to know the life-transforming good news of Jesus Christ. And the degree to which they've expressed their prayerful love and care for the leadership and the students of the Edmiston Center and RTS Atlanta community. These are kingdom degrees that give the Edmiston Center and RTS Atlanta great joy in welcoming Matthew to bring a word of encouragement to our graduates and all of us this morning. Would you please join me in welcoming Matthew Wilson Slater?
Praise God. Good morning. It's great to see you all. It's surreal to be here, and I just thank God for this opportunity that we can all be gathered here this morning. Good morning, faculty, staff, graduates, and families. As I said, it's truly a blessing for me to be here today, as well as my oldest son, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was excited to travel with Daddy today, so I'm happy to have him here with me. My wife, who couldn't be here today, sends her congratulations to the graduates. She's very tired right now, and she has little Hannah, Noah, and Micah at home, and she is, I don't know how she does it, but she sends her best as well. I also would just like to take the time to thank the Ellises for their example, their leadership, the way that you've impacted so many of us in this room, outside of this room. Your impact for the kingdom is so far-reaching, and I just want to say thank you for what you've done for Shahzad and I. Thank you for making this a possibility today as well. Before I get started, I'd like to pray and ask the Lord's blessing over our time. So if you will, let's bow our heads. Father God in heaven, as we humbly approach your throne, I just want to say thank you. Lord, you ordained it for us to be here today. Lord, you called us into this place, and I just ask that you would be here with us today. I thank you for these graduates that we're able to celebrate today. Lord, I thank you for the call that you have on their lives. Lord, you've called them to something greater than themselves, to be a part of your kingdom agenda, your kingdom plan, your kingdom work. So I pray that as they leave this place today, that you would continue to order their steps, that they would continue to submit to you, and that they would continue to do great things for the kingdom. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this place. And I ask that you would be with me, Lord, that it wouldn't be me speaking, that it would be you speaking through me this morning. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Graduates, this is your day. You've just embarked upon and finished an incredible journey. In the completion of every journey, I feel it always appropriate to reflect and look back on all the ways God has provided and been faithful over that particular journey. As Christians, it's important that we do this every day. As we know, without the provision of God, nothing is possible. And I know each of you sitting here today has a unique story and a unique road traveled. And I thank God for each and every one of your individual stories. But not just your individual stories, but the ways in which the Lord has woven your stories together. From convocation until this moment, you've experienced a lot together. A global pandemic, racial reckoning, political swings, a war overseas, and let us not forget the seemingly endless Hebrew translation exams from Dr. Wood. I can only imagine what those must have been like. Praise God. I certainly never envisioned myself to be in the position to speaking to some of God's finest soldiers. I certainly imagined this kind of the other way around, that I'd be sitting in those seats and receiving a word from one of you all. God, generation after generation, as we know, in every situation, he qualifies the called. He doesn't call the qualified. So I'm praying that he qualifies me this morning as he's called me to this very moment. And I know that he will continue to provide. My goal this morning is not to provide you with words of inspiration or motivational slogans, but to look into the wisdom that God provides in his word, because I know that is the best direction that any of us can receive. Today I speak to you not as a professional athlete or a Super Bowl champion or any of the things that I've accomplished professionally. I speak to you as a brother in Christ, someone who is daily trying to apply the truth of Scripture to my life as I attempt to steward over all the areas that God has gifted me to watch over, most notably as a husband and a father of four. So y'all please pray for me. You know, there's something that God has really impressed upon my heart for you today, graduates. I think back to my time in New England, and when I was 26 years old, I was charged with being a captain and leading a locker room full of men, many of whom were older than me and had families and were established, and that was intimidating for me. And I think from that time forward, the Lord has impressed upon my heart, as I said, this idea of leadership. The past couple of years in particularly, I've looked really deeply into the way Christ led while he was here on earth. Because you look at all the chaos that's going on in the world today, and there seems to be a void of leadership. But I know that that's why God has you all here in these chairs sitting here today. Think about it. A king who served and a God who died. That's a radical approach to leadership. But that radical approach transformed all of our eternities. So what does leadership look like in 2022? Well, it looks the same way it did thousands of years ago. I'd like to take a look at a passage of scripture from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You know the context. Jesus has come to his hometown and is announcing the beginning of his formal ministry. Reading straight from the scriptures, he quotes Isaiah 49. From this passage, I'd like to briefly discuss what I see as the three P's of upside down leadership that Jesus succinctly plucks from the scriptures as he commits his earthly ministry. The first P is perfect truth. Jesus states that he has come to earth to proclaim the good news. We as Christians know that the good news is the ultimate truth in a world full of deceit. Jesus has come from the wilderness. Now, he could have come and let everyone know how he defeated the enemy's temptations, but he didn't do that. He could have announced that he was baptized and the Lord opened heaven to proclaim him as his son, but he didn't do that either. You see, I think any good leader must first have an understanding of what it is to see and understand perfect truth. Truth in today's world is thought to be fluid and relative. It's often self-serving and self-promoting. It's not fixed. But the reality is, the truth of God stays the same yesterday, today, and always. The truth shows us who we are in light of who God is. As leaders, we must first equip ourselves with the truth. In order for our impact to be meaningful in any way, we must first understand this. All of you here today possess that truth. This is the truth of the gospel that we cannot veer from, and this is a truth that we must communicate clearly with compassion. People are desperately seeking for the truth, whether they understand why or not. Your ability to communicate that truth in a way that possesses compassion, understanding, is critical for every venture that you go out into as a leader. We're all created for uninhibited relationship with our Creator God, and our hearts long for that. But we are all equally guilty of offending a holy God. Our only hope for reconciliation is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us, who showed us how to live and love and then died, carrying the penalty of all our sin for all time and defeating sin and death through resurrection power, allowing us to be reconciled with God. Because of this truth, we live in humility, but also in the power of love for others. The second P that I see here is personal touch. We know that Jesus operated in the truth at all times. He engaged people in genuine relationship in areas of their greatest need and vulnerability. He was incredibly effective because of his love and intentionality through relationships. Our daily challenge is to take the truth of the gospel, God's undenying, lavish, heavenly love for sin-sick, hell-bound me, and apply it in very practical ways. We don't need more theologians without love. We don't need more pastors without personal touch. We need people armed with the truth of the gospel that are willing to engage those thought to be unengageable, to love them and have relationship with them. This is real leadership. Sharing hard truth in real relationship. It pains me to see even those within the body of Christ forget about the transformative power of Christ-centered leadership. In some cases, we act panicked, fearful, angered, and scared. But that's not what leaders should do. Even when it's hard, we should seek to build bridges, show love, and establish truth. God calls us to do life together, and not just with those we like or with those who are saved. It's with everyone. Which transitions to our third P, people. I like to point out the people who Jesus says he has come to proclaim the truth to. The poor, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed. This strikes me because the people of Jesus' day, just like the people of our day, said, surely this can't be the case. Shouldn't he be serving the righteous, the saved, the ones who agree with his opinions, the ones who look like him, vote like him? The ones who attend his church? No, that's not what the text says. Jesus, time after time, engaged people that the culture said he shouldn't have. Whether it was the woman at the well, Mary Magdalene, Zacchaeus, and many others who folks thought he shouldn't interact with. I know that we can all think of some groups of people that we'd rather not engage. And I'm certainly guilty of that myself. But as Christians, if we are to emulate the life of Christ, we have to resist this urge. If we are charged to lead people to the truth of the gospel, it is those very people that we sometimes feel compelled to run from that we should be engaging with. Unlike Jonah, who ran from his calling to preach to an unsavory bunch, this is not what Jesus did. The impact of Jesus' intentionality engaging these groups was transformative. What would it look like for you to engage with someone who looked different than you, believed different than you, acted different than you? Perhaps it's the very people who we feel as though don't deserve our time, energy, and effort that God is calling us to engage with. Not only did Jesus meet these people where they were, but he was humble enough to serve them. Recall the 12 disciples at the Last Supper and Jesus watching each of their feet. Now, you guys know this better than me, but I'm assuming that foot hygiene wasn't at a premium back in those times. I don't even think a daily bath was on the schedule. But the God of the universe took the time to wash their dirty feet, caked in animal waste, dirt, dust, mud, and soil. Who's signing up for that? But it was more than simply the act of washing their feet. It was the heart of service and humility, and it was the lesson and example he was leaving behind. As much as it was for the 12, it is also for all of us. It is greater to serve than to be served. This is upside down leadership, unconventional in the eyes of the world, and to some, it probably sounds crazy, but we are in a world in desperate need of authentic leadership of this very nature. So I ask you all, as you leave here today, to please lead well. The gifts and talents that God has given each of you within the areas that he will place you is for a reason, and we know that. So don't waste that. Please don't waste that. It won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. The only way that our culture has a chance is if those possessing the truth of Christ begin to live like the person of Christ. Finally, Jesus says this. He begins this passage saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, it's important to remember that these things are only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. All believers have the power to tap into this. The Holy Spirit, he refines our hearts, our minds, so that we can do what God is calling us to do. God is leading you all into many, many vocations, but a consistent truth is that none of us can humbly lead in our own power. As I close, I'd like to mention each of you here who likely brought someone with you. The families and friends that are sitting behind us. The person or people that is with you today are here because of the relationship that you have with them. Perhaps they have served you in such a way to make this day possible. Perhaps they have walked you through a tough time. Maybe it's a parent who brought you to Christ, or a friend who saw you through some dark days. Maybe a spouse that has stuck by your side. I'd like to recognize those of you who have supported our graduates today and give you a round of applause. Everyone needs support on their leadership journey. Being a part of a team since I was 4 years old has taught me that no one person is able to accomplish anything alone. The first team we are part of is our family of origin. And many of you have parents that have supported you, and several other peoples have walked alongside you through the course of your journey. Others might have, you know, different various members of your team that aren't family, and I just want to acknowledge those as well. Today I have one of my teammates here, and he's hanging with me as best he can. And as a parent, I know there's great pride in seeing your son and daughter graduate seminary and transition to the next call from the Lord. So parents especially, I want to say congratulations. I encourage you to continue praying for your graduates and encouraging them as they step into leadership roles that God has called them into. Because as we know, the devil doesn't like what they're getting ready to embark upon, and he will be attacking. So we pray for you all. Today we celebrate you guys, your accomplishments thus far in the beginning of your formal ministry. I pray you model yourselves after Jesus as you go out into the world, as you serve with perfect truth, with love and humility, and with personal touch that is only available through all authentic relationship, serving the dirty-footed people that God is calling you to, with Jesus as your ultimate example, in the power, of course, of the Holy Spirit. I cannot wait to see and hear how you all advance the kingdom of God with the support of your family and friends and your family here at RTS. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Father God, I just again thank you for our graduates this morning. Lord, now I ask that you would give them protection, Lord God, as they leave this place today and go into the things that you're calling them to. Lord, I thank you for the leaders that are sitting in this room and the example that they have set for so many, pointing so many people to the only thing that matters in this life, and that is relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that everyone in this room, as they leave here today, will consider the relationship that they have with you and realize that no matter what life brings them, it's the only thing that matters. Father God, thank you for our graduates again, and thank you for the call that you have on their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll leave you with this, graduates. One final thing, a blessing that is a Slater family special. Number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.